For more than 50 years, Gruber has been telling it straight. That won't change. Here's Gruber.
Well, this part of the program brought to you by DTE Energy, providing safe, reliable natural gas to customers across Michigan. DTE Energy, know your own power. It's Friday, and that means Steve Doolin slides in. No fooling, it's Doolin. Steve Doolin, how are you this fine day?
Not bad. How are you, Gruber?
You know, I'm good. I proved that I'm not completely useless and hopeless in the woods. We tracked down some gorgeous blondes, did Ivy and I. Morels, that is.
Well, I fear for your life because I saw a movie with Clint Eastwood years ago called The Beguiled, and it proved to me when I was a child that all mushrooms are deadly poison.
Well, I understand, and if you happen to find those deadly poisonous morels in your yard, please send up a flare. Call me immediately. I'll be there to save you, defend you from those invaders.
Will do.
I'm good that way. All right, so we've got an unusual mechanism in Michigan, if I understand this correctly, and that is you've got this pendulum swing nationwide, a backlash against these outlandish ideas that abortions could occur, you know, right up to the moment of birth and in some cases afterwards, according to Democrats. And the pendulum swing the other way has been significant. Alabama has, for all intents and purposes, outlawed abortion. Georgia says 6-week heartbeat bill. Missouri is going to be about the same. In Louisiana, a Democrat governor there, John Bell Edwards, I believe is his name, he's going to implement a similar measure because people around the country are saying that can't happen. Now, in Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer says, I absolutely would never sign that. Fine. But in Michigan, you can go out and get petitions, and you can sidestep the governor, right?
Right, yeah. In fact, that's been done on several issues in recent years. The ballot initiative process involves collecting a sufficient number of signatures, and I'm afraid I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but as long as those signatures are properly submitted and properly verified, then the issue comes up for a vote on the ballot.
Well, but there's another way to do it, and you're right about that. I believe the petition numbers are 10% of the number of voters that participated in the previous presidential election. So in this case, to break the threshold, you'd have to be at about 340,000, but obviously in order to be safe, you'd go above that by, I don't know, 50,000 signatures, whatever you would feel was your safe threshold number. But I'm also told, isn't there a mechanism in Michigan where you can get enough petitions that it goes straight to the legislature? And if the legislature approves that measure, it never has to go to the governor.
Oh, sorry, yeah. And again, I don't know the numbers. One of the reasons I went to law school is I'm notoriously bad at numbers. I have to look them up. We don't have to do math as lawyers. We just hire mathematicians.
or just make stuff up.
Hopefully not. hopefully not. The ones who do that end up getting in trouble and saying things like, I should have called instead of texted.
Well, you're right.
That sort of thing.
Michael Cohen comes to mind. Yeah, at any rate.
So you're right. Michigan's constitution is much more modern. It's more recently redone than a lot of states. So we had a constitutional convention back in the 1960s over on the campus of Michigan State University. And so it's got some more sort of interesting ideas built into it. And that spirit carried through with the legislature for generations afterwards. So Michigan has taken a little divergence from the sort of traditional Anglo-American norm in some ways, and this is one of those ways.
Well, let me ask you this, because my question comes back to the whole discussion of abortion in general. A lot of scholars believe that Roe v. Wade was a poorly written, poorly conceived opinion to begin with, that it was crafted to address a social movement because it wasn't happening through the legislature. It's one of the great activist moves in jurisprudence, according to some, right? That'd be fair to say. And so now you're seeing a pushback to the point that Alabama, I mean, it looks to me, Alabama, you know what? Bring it. Tell us we can't do it. And take it to the Supreme Court. It feels to me that that's happening in Alabama. It's happening in Mississippi. It's happening in Missouri, Louisiana. And even if Michigan does it that, you know, in the unusual mechanism that we have at our disposal and have a direct petitioning of the legislature, it could still end up in front of the Supreme Court, right?
Well, yeah, it could. You know, the Supreme Court doesn't have to hear any particular case, though. So the question is going to be, will the Supreme Court have the appetite? Sure, the folks at the state level can intentionally set up the conflict, but the Supreme Court decides which cases the Supreme Court hears ultimately. In any case, it's a long process. And I've heard some of the activists involved in some of the states you mentioned state very plainly that they're hoping to set up a Supreme Court fight. But sometimes you hope there's going to be a Supreme Court fight, and then there isn't. More states that get involved, the more likely you end up with a split of circuits. That's when the Supreme Court's most likely to step in, when you've got a federal appellate circuit saying X and another appellate circuit saying not X, you're more likely to get the Supreme Court to step in and resolve the conflict.
Absolutely. Steve Doolin here. He's a professor, a law professor and an attorney and a whole lot of other things, just an all-around good guy. See how I said that for you? See how I threw that out there for you?
Well, thanks.
No problem. Three big decisions still coming from the Supreme Court. And I don't know how closely you watch these things, but a couple on this list really could have impact long term. One being the citizenship question on the census up before the Supreme Court. And we'll have decisions on this sometime in the next 30 days or so, because they put all their decisions out between now and the end of June, right? So you've got that going on. You've got the partisan gerrymandering case that will affect Michigan potentially. And you've also got what I consider possibly the biggest case of all, and that's the separation of church and state involving that 40-foot-tall cross put together by the ladies that lost sons in World War I that's been there for 100 years in Maryland. And these people against religion want to tear it down. And so those are three big cases. Do you follow these things?
Sometimes. Mostly if they're relevant to one of my clients' concerns. You know, most of my day, like most lawyers, is spent solving other people's problems. And, you know, I do have an interest in public policy in general, and it relates to the courses I teach. But, I'm aware of all three of the ones that you mentioned, luckily, so I may have something to say if you're interested, but it's not like I have time to spend all day reading.
No, I understand.
Supreme Court docket.
But what you've just done here in the last 30 seconds is dispel a myth that a lot of people have, and that is you don't spend as an attorney, you spend most of the time solving other people's problems and not actually napping, which is weird because I had a totally different concept.
Don't get me wrong. I'm in favor of a good nap every now and again.
You're a good sport, too, Doolin. I'll give you that. Anyhow, I do think that the citizenship question and the gerrymandering will both have big impacts on us, and the church of state. These are all cases that have big impacts.
Agreed.
On us. And I really think that come 2020, maybe it is the RBG election. Ruth Bader Ginsburg being maybe the biggest thing on the ballot in 2020. I'll give you the last word.
Well, as a human being, I wish her good luck and good health. However.
Exactly. However, as an American, I could prefer the court to go in a different direction on several issues. We'll leave it there, Doolin. We won't put you in any hot water. Steve Doolin, everybody, licensed attorney, professor, and just a great resource for the program for years now. Doolin, you have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too, Steve.
There you have it. All right. Quick break. And in case you missed it, we're going to catch up on everything we can find right after this.
Only one traffic light in the whole county, so nothing stops you from exploring. Magical drives, hidden paths, pristine beaches, cool running rivers, small town streets. This is Benzie County, part of the Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore, where life doesn't stop, it just slows down to an easy pace. Make it Benzie County. We are Northern Michigan. Go to visitbenzie.com.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction. but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
I'm asking teens like me, what are your plans for the future?
Definitely going to college. Absolutely.
We're going to the state championship.
I'm getting a great job. You know, something I love.
I want to travel. See the world.
No one said teen pregnancy. Say yes to your plans. Say yes to a brighter future. Learn more at michigan.gov/abstinence. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.